Well, it is over. I was not sure that final match was ever going to end. We're going to talk about the matches. We're going to talk about fantasy going forward. And you know it, we've got the Fantasy IPL Awards. So, thanks for joining us. This is the Fantasy IPL Podcast.
Welcome and congratulations on the completion of another successful fantasy IPL season. Mark, how you doing, buddy?
Oh man, I'm exhausted. After yesterday, I was so tired after that match ended. I can't even imagine how the people felt at like 3 a.m. in Ahmedabad. Like Shub McGill having to walk back and forth for a half hour to get awards.
It's been, like, I didn't have a great sense. I think a lot of those guys, like, they went back to the, you know, the dressing room or whatever. I think a bunch of them showered and got cleaned up or whatever. But I don't think many of the CSK players did. I think they were just out there in the grime for all of it. But that was an exhausting weekend just with everything, with the rain delay, the, you know, punt to the reserve day and then rain again. That was crazy.
Yeah.
By the time it was over, I hate to admit that I'm happy that it's over for a little while. I'm ready for a break.
You kind of need a break after IPL. My daughter asked why they don't do cricket again in the year. Like do it more than once. Like, I don't think India can handle it.
There's a reason you can only do it for about 2 months. Only even just on the spectator side of things, it's pretty exhausting. So.
Yeah, a little look behind the curtains. Not only was the IPL league down to the last ball, like the very last over, Jadeja had to get a 6 and a 4 to win, and that's exactly what he did. Our fantasy league came down to the very last ball. Witt and I we finished, what was it, 14 and a half points?
16 and a half points.
16 and a half points between number one and number two in our league. And it was just stressful the whole day because I kept catching up to Witt. Witt, you started like 200 points ahead of me.
225. 225 was my lead going in. And
I just had a great day.
Primarily, I did not have Sai Sundarshan on my team, and you did.
Yeah.
That evaporated my lead to nothing.
The other one I'm a little more proud of is that I vice-captained Mohit because I was looking for that revenge game. I know he used to play for Super Kings, and he was also just on fire at the end of the season. Yeah, came so close, stealing the victory away.
Yeah, so not only did CSK need that 6 and 4 or 4 and 6, however it came, it didn't really matter, from Jadeja to win the championship, but I had Jadeja on my team. That was the only thing that saved my bacon, that little turnaround pull shot by Jadeja to throw that 4 off the back there, sealed a championship for him and for me. It was exciting, but holy cow, was that stressful.
Let's set aside the championship game for a little bit and go back in time. What it feels like it was a month ago.
Oh my gosh.
When Mumbai played Gujarat in the semifinal. Do you call it a semifinal? I guess
it was a qualifier.
Qualifier, that's right. I'm having trouble remembering this match.
Yeah, I had to go back and definitely sort of read back up on it because it feels like a very, very long time ago. The sense that I had looking back on that game was that GT dominated it.
And they did. I mean, they did. There was a brief period in the second innings when Cameron Green, before he left for the first time, and then Big Sky, Varma, they had some great strike rates. I mean, Tilak Varma had a 300 strike rate. And they were keeping up. They were keeping up with the total set by mostly Shub McGill. But then, yeah, once Mohit Sharma came in, it just sank. They just fell apart.
Yeah, I am not taking anything away from Mohit, but that 5-wicket run to end the game was like 3 relatively easy wickets. Those were against bowlers, but he absolutely cut the legs out from under MI having even a remote chance of keeping up their run rate. Their batters were done, but that was on a fantasy side of things. That was just another look behind the curtain. I was up to like almost 400 points ahead of you before Mohit came into that game. And at the time, I did not have Mohit on my team. And then he gets you five wickets. It's like, whoa. The only thing that that even, you know, kind of kept me in the hunt there was the fact that I had Gill vice-captained and you hadn't captained or vice-captained him. It kept a little bit of Band-Aid. But is there anybody capable of doing what he's doing right now in the IPL?
Sky. I mean, Sky. I think Sky and Shubman Gill both seem like guys that, that when they're out there, they can make the ball go exactly where they want it to go.
Yeah, their ability to just throw it over the perimeter or to the perimeter, seemingly whenever, like when they're having those on days, you can see it. It's like they're toying with the bowlers. They know exactly how and where the bowler is going to bowl every single ball, and they just set up for it. Joss Butler kind of rang into that category last year, but as far as it was weird. Like, it genuinely felt like a letdown anytime Gill got out, regardless of the millions of points he had scored. Like, you just don't really feel like he should ever get out. I never really felt, I just don't remember feeling that way about any other batters, whether it was Joss or somebody who's on a run. Like, but like, if Kohli got you 40 runs, you were pretty happy about it. If Gill gets you if Gill gets you 40 runs, you're like, oh, I captained him. I was hoping for better. It's very, very strange. But that was a not strange part about this game. But this injury thing for MI was a weird back and forth. Have you ever seen anybody go batting wise out of a game and come back in and continue batting?
I've never seen that. I did not know that was something you could do.
I mean, he got nailed. Was it on, like, on the elbow there? It looked like he was.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
It looked like he was done for more than the game, and he might be dealing with a long term injury. But he came back and had a good game, not one of those savior games like we've seen out of him. And then the other weird one was Ishan Kishan had like something going on with his eyes, and I feel like that put MI really behind the eight ball to open the game, because Needhall Wadhera opened.
That didn't work.
No.
I'm surprised they didn't have Cameron Green open, because he's done that. He's opened at least once this year, I think.
Yeah, it's strange. I wonder if MI, you know, if they kicked themselves for that, or if it's just that was the plan all along, if it was like a scrambled thing. Because
let's not forget, they were chasing 233.
Sure.
It was a huge number to chase. And you could see in Rohit Sharma's look for Gujarat when they were batting, like the whole time he just looked like, we're losing this. Why are we losing this? We're just letting it. He looked really frustrated.
233 was going to be a big number, but like GT didn't use that many batters. It was just four batters, basically, four or five batters that did most of it. I mean, Sai retired out to bring in Khan, I think. Like,
it seemed like there was like Rashid Khan has like a contract where he has to
get an appearance,
a certain number of things. Because Sai was doing awesome. He had 43 off of 31. They didn't need to retire him.
Yeah, they said he was retired out hurt, but that was a goofy match, because it seemed like MI was in it until they just clearly were not.
That'll happen when Mohit Sharma takes out half your team.
Mohit was just on. It was unbelievable. I know that Gill, you know, put up that 129, something like that. He won the man of the match, but to me, the door slam was from Mohit, and he probably should have won player of the match, in my opinion, just because it was no longer possible.
Hard to not give man of the match to the guy though that gets the fifth highest run total ever.
Right. It just, not only was it a 100, but it was an insane 100. But it's also like
rate of 215.
But at some point, it's like, hey, the guy's won like the last four player of the matches. Let's give it to somebody else. I don't really know that there was a whole lot to gain. Did you take any information from that match, from what you saw from GT or anything that MI did to them, when you started thinking about how you were going to try to structure things for the next match?
No, there wasn't. You know, a lot of your decisions are made at that point with the playoffs. You've got who you've got in your team. But one thing that the Titans did differently in the playoffs that I like, and I hope they do it again next year, is they started bringing Rashid Khan in as their closer instead of Rahul Tawadia.
Yeah.
Obviously better for fantasy, because I can't imagine there's a single fantasy team in the top 5,000 that has Rahul Tawadia in their lineup. But after that incredible play Rashid had against, I don't remember who they were playing against, where he got like 70 runs off of 30 balls.
Yeah, and just
after that, we've been kind of saying all season, why aren't they playing Rashid Khan more? Like he's good with the bat. He seems like he's not just a bowler. He really can be an all rounder. And just in the playoffs, they seem like they finally started doing that.
But we had quite the interruption there. What did you do all day on Sunday?
It was difficult with the rain out because it wasn't just a thing where, okay, the match is over. It was something right. Where you have to wait and wait and wait. I can tell you what I did was I would tune in to check on the weather every 15 minutes or so that morning. And every single time I did, they were talking about Dhoni. And I mean, I'm going to keep this brief because I don't want to hear the name Dhoni anymore. Really.
Just let it out, bro. Just let it flow.
Oh my gosh. I got so sick of hearing about Dhoni. I was going to ask you, is this just a me thing or is this like a Indian versus American like cultural thing? Like I just cannot stand the constant, like it feels like hero worship of Dhoni. I mean, I know he's great and I know he deserves to be recognized as one of the best captains and cricket players and a cultural icon. But it seems like last year we went through the whole Dhoni is retire. Is he going to retire? Let's just talk about Dhoni a lot. And then this year, that's all it was. Every time Chennai played, it was Dhoni because of the rain out. And because they didn't have anything else to talk about, they just talked about him nonstop. It's like, I'm just so sick of hearing about it. And then at the end, he announced that he's going to come back again. So it's like, okay, so next year, CSK is my least favorite team. I don't want them to go to the playoffs because I don't want to have to sit through hours and hours of Dhoni talk again. So there's my rant. I'm done.
Do you feel better?
I hope I didn't like offend anybody in India too much. Maybe it is just because I don't have the background. I didn't grow up with Dhoni.
Well, you talked about the hero worship thing, and I'm not unique in this sense, but that some of those external factors aren't what's going on with Dhoni, because you're not dealing with like an overseas situation or a guy who's, you know, like a pretty boy, like, you know, the Prince of India, you know, posting those shirtless Twitter photos for you and the wife, but
he does post a lot of pictures of himself on Twitter.
Like, I don't think Dhoni's marketing himself or that the league is marketing himself based off of like a physique or like a, you know, somebody that you want to be wearing your suit when they show up to the Oscars.
They had some Dhoni muscle photos at the beginning of the season.
Okay.
The big guns.
But
I might just be suffering from Dhoni fatigue, and I would wonder if other people also are. Maybe by this time, well, not by this time, but by the beginning of next season, that might have worn off.
Yeah, it is frustrating, especially given at the end of the season, Dhoni was essentially a non-factor in the IPL as far as his production on the field. Yeah. Obviously, as a, you know, as a captain, and clearly there's a genius behind what he's doing because he makes it work seemingly more than anybody else. But yeah, I think your fatigue guess about that is probably right. Whether or not, like you said, the people of India also feel that way, because it certainly didn't look like it. But yeah. It basically boiled down to, yeah, they didn't have enough to talk about. And there was a whole bunch of bad information coming out. The announcers seemed to think they were fed some bad information about the fact that there was no reserve day. And so that if the game yeah. wasn't played, GT just defaulted as the winner. Now, on a fantasy side of things, that had some very strange implications, because obviously you're not probably in position to maneuver your team dramatically. But I got to imagine if they were going to play like a 5-over game, you're just, I want the top two batters for each side. And my captains are going to live in that little space, right? Like, that's it. Like, I don't care about basically any other team, any other points like that.
You're going to add David Miller as a differentiator in a 5-over game.
Right. And then what do you do? Because you can't count on, I could see, you know, you're basically playing an only death over game. We are very used to, you know, Gill and Saha opening for GT. That would have been terrifying. Because I'm not convinced it would have been Saha.
Do you think you'd have, like, after one over, Ridham and Saha just retiring himself out, you know, Krunal Pandya style?
Who knows? I mean, I know the rules for super overs are very complicated depending on league to league, but you can only have two outs in a super over, so you only need three batters. And I don't know if we would have been privy to any of that information if something like that had happened with this shortened stuff. And I know this didn't happen. but I wanted to talk about it because as a fantasy show, these are definitely things we need to kind of have registered, you know, in that the back of your underwear drawer there. You need to know where these games can change and where they can pivot. So that brings us to the actual final, which finally happened.
It took a long time for it to even happen, though.
Yeah, I mean, just more waiting, more pain, more suffering.
I think that was the longest T20 match in history.
It sure felt like it. We got through the first inning, okay.
As a GT fan, I was thrilled with the first inning.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you.
I was worried when Shubman went out quick, but then Sai came back and dominated. Hardik didn't look too bad. Rinnem and Saha looked pretty good. I mean, they looked like they were ready to win this thing. Like, they came to win it.
That rain delay absolutely benefited CSK as far as the likelihood of them going deep, because they were out of batters. If they'd have had to stretch that thing another five innings, the run rate probably would have gotten away from them. And you know, like if Jadeja gets out, the remaining pieces are not promising, not good. So I think, however it is, they calculated that 171 run target.
Yeah.
like that felt tall at the time, but I'm looking at the match now and I'm feeling like that 171 and 15 overs was far more doable than 214 and 20.
Yeah. I think I hadn't thought about it that way. They did go through a bunch of batters to get to 171. I mean, I'm sure if it was 20 overs, they'd been playing a little more cautiously, but I wonder if it had been 20 overs, if they would have stalled out in a similar way that, that Mumbai did.
Yeah, I just don't think there was that much gas left in the tank for CSK. Jadeja can certainly knock it. We've seen him do it in the past. He seemed, you know, for the six balls or whatever he faced, pretty well dialed in. But how else do you think that? Do you think that rain delay?
It's hard to say. I think that GT fans and players are going to be asking themselves until GT wins another playoff if. Had they played the 20 overs, if there hadn't been a rain delay, would they have won? And of course, I think they would have, but I'm a GT fan, so
no. I agree with you.
I think that might have. One thing I guess I heard him talking about is it might affect the spin, like with the wet pitch, it's harder to spin the ball.
Sure.
And so somebody like Rashid Khan, who maybe would have taken a couple wickets, or at least wouldn't have had a 15. Economy.
Right.
And Noor Ahmad, I mean, really, Noor Ahmad was the only like all around effective bowler. I mean, Sharma got three wickets, but he had an economy of 12.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that Hardik had himself bowl.
I was surprised too, especially once it got shortened. Most of the time, I'm a little surprised that Hardik bowls when you've got the bowling capabilities sitting behind him. That was part of the reason I grabbed him going into these, like what turned out to be three games for GT was like, you're going to get opportunities, but I don't think he got a wicket in the postseason, despite a good number of opportunities. He didn't really flourish. No. I'm amazed with Hardik Pandya how like seemingly okay he was with losing. The smirk on his face when that last ball trickled off to the boundary, it was just like, I'm not saying he didn't care, but I mean, it didn't really change his demeanor. He was just kind of like, this is cricket. This is T20. This is IPL. This is how it goes. But then, of course, this morning, I wake up to an email on my phone that's, you know, from like a multi-sourced. it specifically referenced him, but it also talked about, is the IPL scripted? I was curious, you know, I don't think you're that far into a conspiracy hole with GT, but I got to imagine that that there's some GT fans out there that feel like, you know, that was slanted in the favor of CSK for your favorite person on the planet, Dhoni's exit.
Yeah, I don't want to give credence to stuff like that. I think it was before the second last pitch, or maybe it was before the last pitch, the last ball, I mean. Hardik went over and talked to Mohit.
Yep.
Just had a little talk with him. And I was like, oh, man. During the match, my thought was, Hardik, leave him alone. Just don't talk. Just leave him alone, man.
You're going to yash him.
And then after the match, I was like, oh, I bet I'm going to see stuff on social media about Hardik. What did he say when he talked to Mohit? You got to let Jadeja hit a boundary on this one because Dhoni's supposed to win.
Wouldn't you love it? Like if there was just some even remotely viable source that, you know, it indicates that somehow that was like radioed into Harvick, like tell him to bowl it outside. Cause that was a significantly different ball from Sharma than what you had been seeing. It was like, he was okay with the wide, but on like a fantasy side for this game, I think what really, I wouldn't say it hurt me, but derailed the possibility of me having a big game was Saha going deep. He stuck around for so long that sort of my differential bats on GT. So like Hardy always gives himself an opportunity, but Vijay Shankar basically didn't bat in the postseason. And that killed me because I was sitting on him the whole time. He had a catch in this match and that was it.
Yeah. That was David Miller for me. He basically did nothing.
David Miller was just not needed. You know, you got to have the bats that they're going to do well. And then especially both times that these guys played, it actually switched to the differential being the bowlers. So congratulations to you and the people that you know, managed to find those wickets out of those guys. I didn't give it enough attention. I wanted the batters, ignored the bowlers. And then that's ultimately where...
That was the main reason I picked up Sai Sudarshan, was that I didn't have enough batters. I was afraid I was not going to get all the points.
But like from a fantasy standpoint, does that change your strategy at all? It felt pretty common this year that we saw... like kind of the top order for bats. And then a couple of these teams, CSK and GT, were definitely two of them where you just really couldn't count on how things were going to go after that. And I don't know that I ever really learned my lesson this year.
The only lesson I learned was that you should trust GT bowlers. Like if there's one team that you're going to put two bowlers in from on a season, like you said, that's mostly been batter dominated, that is the team to do it. There's nothing that compares to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they were – I mean, they lost in the last ball. But I still think it's fair to say that they were dominant this season, Gujarat. They're now 10 wins in a row for two – 10 wins for 2 years in a row is what I meant to say. They're the only team to do that. They're the only team to break 10 wins either year.
They were the only team that I felt like the whole year was going to make the finals. Like, they were the only team that I never doubted.
They had great batting, not to take anything away from Chubb McGill or Sai Sudarshan, or even some of the other guys that didn't get to really have the shot so much. But the difference maker was their bowlers. Nobody had a bowling lineup like they did.
I agree.
I mean, the Super Kings, you could say almost the same thing. Like,
yeah.
Especially once Deepak Chahar came back. I mean, Deshpande dropped off a little bit at the end, but the Wonder Twins, Jadeja, Deepak Chahar, they were all solid. I think that's why CSK had such a dominant back half of the season.
Yeah, and then go figure, they really didn't, at least in this match, they didn't do much. I don't think Chahar got a wicket, and then the Trash Panda got taken for a ride. His economy rate got thrown into the ceiling. That was just GT doing GT, and I feel like CSK lucked up a little bit with the way that rain stuff played out. I just don't think they had enough batters to get to 214. They had exactly the right amount of batters to get to 171, but I don't think they had
to. Yeah, I think there's some truth to that.
Any other ways you feel like the rain affected how this played out? I'm just thinking from a fantasy standpoint, you know, what did we learn from this? Because this was the match that it really, really, really mattered. There was that oddball LSG CSK draw match earlier in the season, but this one, because they basically had to play it. Is there anything you can do when you see this coming?
If you didn't already know already, load up on players who are going to play in the first innings. We had the same thing with the LSG match that was, I think it was Super Kings and LSG that was canceled or abandoned due to rain.
Abandoned in the mid inning.
So yeah, if there's rain, and they get to the point of having the toss, and you know who's going to be batting first, get those batters and get the other team's bowlers.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but there was just no bone in my body that was going to allow me to captain or vice captain Ridhwan Saha. Because I was thinking about it, I was like, man, if this match gets, because during the rain out on Sunday, they were talking about there being forecast rain for the reserve day being Monday. So that was in my head. I was like, rearrange everything, get all the bowlers from CSK. Captain and vice captain, the first, you know, pick two or three of the batters for GT and then just be done with it. And like, you know, in case they get to that point and they call it, because it's insanity to me that the IPL will just be like, well, even though we played 13 overs, we're just going to abandon the match and G2 wins. Like that's a possibility. Yeah. Like we're out of reserve days for this, but that's a thing. And then, you gotta think about it. You gotta plan for it. It seemed like that was a bigger threat this year than maybe any of the years that we've dealt with in the past. I just don't remember rain.
I don't either. Right.
Causing so much trouble.
I wonder if that's because we're playing in, since we started doing fantasy, they have never played it like home and away, series.
Right.
So, I mean, of course, when they were playing in UAE the first 2 years, I think there was no real worry about rain out there. So I don't know.
Anything else from the final, from a fantasy standpoint, that we need to touch on, or should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay.
That final lasted long enough. Time
to move on. Well, so, you know, we talked about the things to learn from that match. What about from the season? Anything strategy wise, things to pass on? Do you feel your fantasy game evolved this year? Is there anything you learned that you want to make sure you emphasize next season?
I think I could have two points I'd like to bring up. One is that if they continue with the impact sub, that definitely impacted the season. It made all rounders, most of the time, it just made all rounders into either batters or bowlers, whichever they are.
Right.
The top at, or they just, it just completely eliminated them, like poor Andre Russell. So, you know, that going forward, all rounders are going to be less valuable. And the all rounders that truly are all rounders that bat in the first four and still bowl two or three overs, they're going to be great. They're going to be awesome.
Yeah. It seems like that created a divide of like super impactful all rounders and then basically useless all rounders. And there's like couple of in betweens that just kind of floated that were super frustrating.
I mentioned it earlier. If next year GT comes back and they're playing Rashid Khan as their closer, they bring him in at fourth or fifth instead of all these other guys in front of him, he could be the top fantasy asset of the entire season. Because if he's suddenly getting like 20 to 30 runs a match, plus all the wickets he takes.
If you just averaged him through the season and he had better games and worse games as far as wicket taking and on the bowling side, you know, he got no wickets yesterday, but it was a weird game.
Yeah,
it was. Only had three opportunities on a soaking wet field. Who knows what that did to him? But just in general, it's you almost count on two wickets from Khan, right? Like you'd say that's about his average, probably 1.5 to 2 wickets per game is what you're figuring. So it's just like, yeah, if you could get 50 points out of the bowling side of things and then another 40 points out of the batting, couple boundaries, like you said, 25, 30, like, and you just average like 100 points every time you step on the field, the entire league is going to captain or vice captain that guy every single time he comes up, and he'd be crazy not to. Like you're going to miss out on it. So maybe that even elevates some guys into those positions. Cause I just never really thought of Khan as a batter, but until his duck yesterday, he was kind of doing well with it. So,
he was the second overall fantasy scorer this year.
That's amazing. Gill.
And, if he had even 20 runs per match, I mean, that's another, 280 points just off of the runs. Yeah. He would easily be number.
Yeah, just so give him Hardik Pandya's runs, basically. You know, that all-rounder, you know, 15 to 25 runs a game is kind of what you hope for out of Pandya. He just bats a little too early, hurts himself. But I think in conjunction with that impact player, it seemed like by like match 60, we had scored more runs total in the IPL than had been scored at that in an entire season, including the playoffs before. Scores were up. Boundaries were up, 50s were up, more players had scored half centuries, and I think we tied the number of centuries in an IPL in a season. So, like, again, it feels like go batter, go batter, go batter. That's where all the big points are. And I see myself thinking about that. What's strange, though,
it seems like, I mean, I'd be interested to go back and look at this for the season. But it seems like the runs didn't come from an impact sub six people down the order. The runs seem to still come from the top guys. I mean, all the
yeah,
all the top run getters. I mean, Gill, Jaiswal, Pfaff, Coley. Big Sky is probably one of the furthest down. He usually bats at three or four.
Right.
Maybe Cam Green. But for the most part, it's almost like it gives those top order batters more flexibility, more ability to hit the fours and sixes. And what maybe they're finding out is they can go bigger than they thought they could. Because a lot of times you never even needed to get down the order. You only got through the first four batters.
Yeah, there's something about some of those guys that managed to settle in. It's like once Gill gets above like 30 runs, you're genuinely shocked when he gets eliminated. And Pfaff kind of does the same thing to you throughout the season. It's like if he can makes it through the power play, you start feeling like really good about him. But the power play is goofy because it's designed to create run scoring. But certain bowling attacks seem to really eliminate that. Like that's Muhammad Shami's rule, is to not let you start knocking the boundaries. But having the player restriction to that inner circle is supposed to just create fours like crazy. And it seems like maybe this year some of these openers started doing better and better and better at that. Does that make you less likely to start really good bowlers if they're not, assuming their opening boards like a Shami? It seemed like towards the end of the year he really slowed down as power play scoring went up.
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know that I didn't play Muhammad Shami too much at the end of the season, but I think it was more because I was just playing the game of trying to get the other bat bowlers. I don't know if that would affect it. One thing, speaking of the end of season, the other thing that I learned is to not save my boosters for too long. This season, I definitely saved them too long. I didn't do it on purpose. It certainly wasn't my plan, which is a problem. I should be playing those when I'm planning to play them. And it felt more like, oh, I have three boosters and there's only four matches left. So I got to figure something out.
Yeah, that was interesting for you. But you had a rule that you mentioned in a previous episode, something about having seen each team a certain number of times, but having a certain number of opportunities left. What was that?
I think it was four. I think I said I want to see each team play four times before I use boosters because I want to know, do they have their 11 set? Are they reliable? Which players should I put it on? I wouldn't use it at the beginning of the season, but there's kind of like, I mean, after each team plays four times, there's still, 50 matches left or something? So there should be plenty of opportunity to use it. And I waited too long. And I think unless you are planning to save them for the playoffs, because there is a mathematical reason to do that as far as having lots of players in for very few transfers, unless you're doing that, there's no reason to save it for the last few matches. My boosters, I mean, they were okay this year. I didn't have as big a bust as I've had in the past, but still didn't. I didn't like it. I didn't like waiting.
Are you a Fast and Furious fan at all of the franchise, the movie franchise?
No. Only one I've seen is Tokyo Drift.
Okay. Which may be the worst one. I don't know. They're all pretty hokey. But I always picture in my head when people start throwing boosters into the season, in the very first Fast and the Furious, they're at this like race wars race, and you know, this one kid is racing the guy with all the money and all the experience, and he hits the NOS too soon. And the guy that he's racing against just kind of shakes his head at him like, too soon, man, too soon. And then he hits his NOS and just leaves him in the dust. And it's like, that's what I kind of see happening a lot with boosters, is like somebody throws one out there at like match 10. And it's just like, oh, cool, you have a 1,000-point lead over everybody. And then it never works. It seems like the chase is always better. Getting points early in the season, it seems unsustainable. So for me, learning this year, it was definitely like patience, learning how to hang back and just be okay with the fact that you're in fourth, fifth, sixth place, whatever it is, because you can look at it and you'd be like, I have so many more resources than the people in front of me.
Yeah.
But then you got to hit, because I got very scared. I didn't do well with my boosters this year. I had two that hit pretty well and the others, by and large, were bad. So it was like, I wish I had more meat left on the bone to recover from those. But I think in the future, I will be like you, trying to use them a little earlier, but not too early. Second half of the year all the way.
And I think next year I'm also going to try to space out my transfers more. So then instead of saving a bunch towards the end, I'm using them throughout the season. And so I'd rather have like 4 to 6 players on every match than have 2 to 5 on a lot of matches, and then have like the last 6 matches each have 7 players. That can't be the best way to do it. And every year I end up having that. I guess in fairness, every year we've played, I've finished in the top 2 in our league. So it can't be too bad of a strategy, but I still feel like I could do better.
But you got to evolve too. You can't just do the same thing every year, because then, you know, well, you can if it always works, but it seemed like that was most people's plans. Our league was so good this year as far as responsibility with transfer usage and stuff like that. Nobody burnt them up and was out of transfers and, you know, down to pennies for those last few matches. So it was really just about the better picks as opposed to better positioning, which is great. But I was kind of thinking about, you know, this is a Dream 11 fantasy group. So I made a list, and this is doable. If you were going to put together a real like credits, you know, and you know, overseas players combination. So I put together the 11 that I think that I would want, like,
all right,
if I was going to build a super team.
Wit's Dream 11, the official fantasy IPL Dream 11 team.
So at wicket keeper, I want the assassin Heinrich Klaassen.
Now this already has me bringing up questions. This is based on this season, right? I mean,
yes, yeah.
If you this were really been... having, like, I'm hard. It's hard for me to turn down Quentin DeCock, but he just didn't play the season, so he's not really.
Yeah, this is really based on like the things that were happening at like match 60 when every team was still viable. Yeah, you know, that would be about, because some of those teams just started doing goofy things. But then at batter, I want Pfaff. I want Jaiswal. Obviously, Shubman Gill, Big Sky, and then Rinku. All those guys are capable of just epic days.
Is Rinku the best finisher now?
He seems like it, as far as a closer with the bat.
Yeah, if there's anybody you want on your team more, he has to be the best. He was awesome.
He may be the most responsible for the demise of Andre Russell's bat. Because I get it. They took the bowling overs away from Andre Russell. And honestly, when he had his bowling overs, he did well. He picked up a decent number of wickets. As far as like wickets per over bowled, he's probably actually pretty good. It's just they didn't utilize that. But he used to be like, okay, it's the 14th over. Somebody gets out. Here comes Russell. Nope. Now it's here comes Rinku. And it was far more reliable. So I want Rinku. At the all-rounder position, 2 guys. Rashid Khan, we've pummeled him into the ground with compliments and opportunity. Yeah. And then his counterpart in the match, Ravindra Jadeja.
Those two are kind of no-brainers.
Unbelievable production.
In a position that's been gutted this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Those two really stand out. And I'm looking at the stats right now, fantasy anyway. The only other 2 who come close are Stoinis, who was very hot and cold and didn't bowl very often.
Nope.
And Cam Green, who was pretty solid with the bat all year, but he was not reliable with
bowling. And he did have sort of a late surge too. He came on with that late century and things. So his numbers are a little skewed.
Skewered.
We don't have skewers numbers. But then at bowler, I went with Mohammed Shami, just because he was in contention for that purple cap the entire year. Mohit Sharma, and then Pathirana. That's who, if I was just going to build a team that's going to play against somebody else's team, if you could have all those guys every time, like a fantasy football style setup, I think that would just be murderer's row. I don't see how you could lose. Anybody you'd swap out?
I'd have to look through the credits and everything. I'm thinking Pathirana is... there's probably 2 or 3 bowlers who I would put in the same tier as him, but he's only 7 credits, right?
6.
He's super cheap.
It's only 6 credits.
6.
Yeah.
6. So yeah, if you were setting this up at home and you had enough credits and you needed an overseas slot for somebody else, I don't think you'd be doing any wrong by picking up Piyush or Chatty Cathy. But yeah, Patherana was great. He was one of those, like, when he finally comes in, you're like, all right, I'm going to get an extra 25 to 75 points.
Yeah.
Because he just picks up Wiggins every time.
That was sort of how I hedged it, was like, that's what Mohit Sharma and Patherana are there for, is those cleanups. Yeah. And then the other guys are the ones that are taking care of those meat overs, you know, early and mid, mid over guys. But without further ado, should we wrap the season with the end of the year awards?
Yeah. So we have, let's see, 9 awards. On our last episode, we announced the nominees, and then we put the polls out on Twitter, and we're happy to see we got a handful of votes on each of them. And so now let's present the winners. Do you want to go award by award and just name the nominees again before we talk about the winner?
Sure. Why don't you start off with the first one?
All right. So the first one is the Fantasy Bargain Bin Hero. The nominees were Rinku Singh, Tushar Deshpande, i.e. the Trash Panda, Jadesh Sharma, Patherana, who made your team, and Prabh Simran Singh. And of course, the winner was
that's my drummer.
Yashavi Jaiswal. Could there be anybody else besides Jaiswal to win this?
No, I don't see how. I mean, his capability this year as an uncapped player, given the fact that he eclipsed nearly all players in terms of points scored with the bat, to be able to add him every time he plays as an uncapped free transfer, that is the bargain bin of IPL since I've been playing, I think.
Yeah, it seems like he and Rinku, and when he was playing, Sai, Sudarshan, were kind of the no-brainer, don't think about it, use your uncapped on him.
Just get him in there.
This year.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to Jaiswal. Our next category is the Party Pooper Award. This is for the player who started hot but then faded throughout the year and became maybe even unreliable or unusable. But the nominees are Joss Butler, Shikhar Dhawan, Arshdeep Singh, Ravindra Ravich. I'm thinking of Jadeja, but let's just say Ashwin, because I'm going to screw up his name if I'm not reading it.
Mr. Ashwin.
And Mark Wood. And the winner is Shikhar Dhawan. Thanks for adding the Mr. to Ashwin. Any comments on Shikhar Dhawan just leaving you hanging out to dry?
Yeah, I think honestly he left a lot of people out to dry. I was pretty excited about their season this year, and I don't know, a lot of things just went wrong for the Punjab Kings. I don't think it was all Dhawan's fault. I do think it's kind of a cheat to put Mark Wood in this category, because he was incredible for those first 3 matches, and then he just didn't play again.
Gone.
Yeah, I think he earned it. Some of these other players, you know, Arshdeep also, same team, right?
Yep.
Punjab. And those two fading towards the end is probably a big reason why they did not go to the playoffs, even though they looked pretty solid at the beginning.
I feel like Dhawan, you know, he peaked with that 99, obviously. He got everybody's attention, nearly had this first century of the season, was dealing with injury, and I feel like he had one more good game. And it was when it seemed like half of our league threw their 3X on him. And I think he got you a half century. And then after that, it was just let down city. Take it away to the next one.
All right, so sort of the opposite. The next award is the Fashionably Late Award, the biggest back half of the season star. The nominees are Noor Ahmad, who, especially in the playoffs, is impressive. Jason Roy for KKR, Big Sky, or Heinrich the Assassin Klassen. The winner is Heinrich Klassen. I think down the stretch, there was nobody I was more excited to put on my lineup.
Yeah, he earned his way into my overseas booster. I basically rearranged my plan to make sure I was going to get a chance to use him. in that overseas booster, and he had a massive game for me. It was really my biggest hit when it came to efficiency with a booster included Hiring Rate class. And it's just strange because I don't think until after match 50 or so anybody in our league had been playing him. And then no. I don't know that there was anybody who was managing their roster that didn't play him every chance he came around after that. So I don't think there's any if you take the playoff category out of it, if you ignore that, Nora Mod certainly is in that conversation. I think you have a very valid point there. But as far as regular season plug and plays that just kind of seems to have come out of nowhere, I don't think anybody holds a candle to Heinrich Klaassen as far as a surprise big star for the back half. Moving on to the next award, the Gone Fishing Award. So this is for the player who baited you into putting them into your lineup and more often than not let you down. The nominees are David Warner, Krunal Pandya, his brother Hardik Pandya, Winandu Hasarenga, Aiden Markram, Kyle Mayers, and Yuzvendra Chahal. The winner is David Warner. What are your thoughts on David Warner for the year?
David Warner is even worse than that because he did start the season really hot, fantasy-wise, of course. And then he really...
What kind of hotness does he exude when it's not fantasy? What are you trying to leave out there, Mark?
What I'm trying to say is he was hot fantasy-wise, but let us not forget that he shaved his mustache.
That's true.
So there was that offense we all had to deal with. But then he slowed down. Like, he got the bait, and you started playing him. And then he stopped being good at fantasy. And then when everybody was finally like, all right, I'm done with David Warner, like the last two matches, he was good again.
Yeah, when it didn't matter anymore.
Didn't matter. And nobody trusted him. So that was painful.
Yeah, once the mustache was not there to ride, it became pretty painful. I would love to go back and listen to like our first few weeks and listen to how we just pumped this guy as being like Mr. Consistency. Don't think about it. Just put him in there. And then I remember using the words, I don't know what you're doing if you're playing David Warner. And then I think the next match he got like a 54. So it's like, oh, now the DC is terrible. Here's David Warner. Take us to the next one.
He has a way to make us look stupid. Next one is the Kingpin Bowler Award. In a season with batting certainly taking the front stage, Kingpin Bowler Award. And again, just to remind, this is not necessarily who had the most wickets or who was the best bowler for fantasy even, but who was the guy that you wanted to have on your roster all the time and didn't really have to think about. Kingpin Bowler, the nominees are, of course, Rashid Khan, Ravindra Jadeja, Mohammad Shami, Chatty Cathy, that is Varun Chakravarti, the Trash Panda, or Piyush Chawla. And I'm pleased to announce that the winner is Piyush Chawla.
Baby. What a just a fantasy hero for us this year. He became just sort of the face of bowlers for us for a good long while. You know, some of these guys, you know, Khan and Jadeja technically being all rounders, that was an easier plug and play, but it was always tough to try to stab in the dark. Who do you want for your bowlers? And Piyush Chawla just seemed like once he got that first good game was just a staple in lineups, and it was very rare that he let you down.
Wasn't too expensive. He's Indian, easy to just have him in there holding a bowler spot constantly.
Yeah. So, you know, the tangible pieces of things as far as purple cap leads or economy rate or something like that, like those came into factor when kind of thinking about this list, but undoubtedly just as far as a value and a productive guy and fun to watch, Piyush Chawla just
it probably helped. You compare him to somebody like Mohammad Shami or Rashid Khan, that you did always kind of have to pick which one of those guys was going to get the wickets. for that team. Like, there were so many good bowlers, and you didn't want to have just GT bowlers on your team all the time. So, but Piyush was on a team where really there was not, it was a desert at bowler.
At times, it sure felt like though, yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't much besides him. So, the next one, the One Hit Wonder Award. Those who stole our heart for one match and then never came back. The nominees are Shikhar Dhawan, Harry the Brookie Brook, or Venkatesh Iyer. In this one, there was actually a tie in the vote. So the loser of the award is Shikhar Dhawan.
He got the least amount of of hate.
It was a tie between Harry Brook and Venkatesh Iyer. And I can tell you that I don't know that I ever had either of these guys on my lineup. I maybe had Venkatesh once or twice at the beginning. But so, I just didn't see it.
To me, the tie break goes to the Brookie mistake, Harry Brook. Just again, because Venkatesh Iyer came into the season with like a reasonable amount of clout. So his arrival with like his one big century, like his big game, was maybe less surprising. And
you know
he had done that, you know, before. I at least kind of knew who he was. I didn't know hardly anything about Harry Brook before his century. So when these both guys just kind of started letting you down at the end, it was kind of like, well, I see what's going on with Venkatesh on that team. I understood more. Whereas Brookie just pulled everybody in. You were the only guy, it seemed like. You were like, don't do it. Don't chase the points. half the world did, and everybody paid for it. He just never gave you anything worth, you know, cheering about after that. But if you had to tie break between Venky and Brookie, which way are you going?
I would also pick Harry Brook. Because Venkatesh did have a few other matches where he was okay. But more so, Harry Brook was the fifth highest paid player to go in the auction this year.
Womp womp.
They paid him 13.25 crore. And just to, for comparison's sake, Mohit Sharma was paid 0.5 crore.
Who would you rather have right about now?
Yeah, right. Wow. Who worked out more? I mean, geez. Yeah, I was looking at that earlier. Some of these top paid players, just how much they busted. Not Heinrich Klassen, though. He is paid 5.25. So he's in the top 10. Good for him.
Good for him. Okay, moving on to one of our more fun categories of our year-end awards is the Best Nickname Award. Hopefully everybody is out there enjoying nicknames of players. And all these nicknames came from different angles, sometimes because we couldn't pronounce a name correctly, sometimes it just rhymed, sometimes it was you know, it just obviously made sense. But your nominees are the Trash Panda.
I want to say all the nicknames come from a place of love.
This is
none
true.
Of these are meant to be hateful to players. We appreciate what these players do.
Yeah, I would like to think that in any room where these players were present, if we use this, they would thank us for it. So there is the Trash Panda, who's been around for many years. Chatty Cathy for Varun Chakravarthy. Sir Yakamur, thanks to my absolute horrible ability to read Hindi-based names. I completely forgot about this guy. Mankind, Prerik Mankind. There's Piyush Chawla, or as we started calling him, Pushit. As we started singing it. We have a lot in this category. This is fun. Sabotage Siraj. Roe Miss. That one's a little less of a place of love, but it's there. Ishant Sharma, a.k.a. the Fantasy Hot Pocket.
Sorry, you mispronounced that. It's Instant Sharma.
Instant AKA Sharma. Fantasy Hot Pocket. Isn't that what it said? And then
he said his real
name. Heinrich the Klassassin Klassen. And the winner is Pushit. Boot,
baby,
baby. Pushit.
It's hard to not.
Every time.
The fact that song has been in my head for 2 months, how could he not win?
He deserves the award. That was a lot of fun though, and it's one of the things that we've really enjoyed about the podcast, and then also just our league conversations, is the number of times that a new nickname or some sort of interesting pun comes out of somebody's name or presence in the game. And like Mark said, it comes out of love, and it's just fun to play with. Glad we did that one.
All right, this next award maybe doesn't come out of love, although you got to say that you can only get the Fantasy Duck Award, the biggest letdown, if you have high expectations for the player. So True. These are the players that we absolutely loved going to the beginning of the season, that we were expecting a lot of, and they didn't live up to expectations. We hope that next year they'll get another chance. So the nominees for the Fantasy Duck Award are Quentin DeCock, Joss Butler. Strange, because he's like one of the top 20 scorers. Anyway, Quentin DeCock, Joss Butler, Noeen Ali, Harshal Babyface Patel, Hardik Pandya, that one hurts, and Andre Russell. And the winner is Andre Russell.
I'm clapping internally.
Andre Russell, when we were, if you listen to the beginning of this podcast, when we were doing our first four episodes, we were just explaining what fantasy cricket is, what IPL is, to people who maybe aren't familiar with it. And every time we talked about like a player who is just obviously going to be in your lineup, a player who's going to be at the top of the points, it was always, we used Andre Russell as the example. And he was not that this year. I think he got hit hard by that. Maybe a little bit by the fact that KKR lost their best batter and captain, Shreyas Iyer, to start the season, but also from the Impact Player Award.
Yeah, it seemed like maybe he was affected more than anybody else by the ability for these teams to adapt to, you know, it's like, oh, we can have six bowlers now, you know, and it just... Like I said earlier in the episode, he was very effective with his overs when he did bowl, but they didn't give him to him often. He often was very expensive, but then would get you a wicket. So it was good for fantasy, but not great for the team when that would happen. And then Rinku Singh stole his closer role. So it really just, they pulled the carpet out from Andre Russell on us. And it's very disappointing because he's always been one of my favorite players, but maybe better next year. I think I stole the next category when we did this, when we announced them. So since I got to do this one in the announcements, I'm going to let you close us out with the last award.
All right, the final award, what everybody's been waiting for, the Fantasy MVP. The nominees are Shubman Gill. I wish I didn't have to say this guy's first name because I don't know how to say it. The nominees are Shubman Gill, Yashasvi Jaiswal, thank you. Rashid Khan, Faf du Plessis, and Ravindra Jadeja. And the winner is Faf du Plessis. Wit, do you want to explain how Faf could have beaten Jadeja, who won the fantasy, win your fantasy league for you, basically, and Shubman Gill, who just obliterated everything in his path this year?
So yes, you have to keep in mind this is a fantasy podcast voter core that put this together for us. So a huge portion of it was that he was voted by us and the fans of the podcast as the fantasy MVP.
True.
That poll came out prior to the finals or prior to the playoffs. So this was intended to include the production of players pre-playoff. So it's hard not to have like a recency bias when you look at these kinds of things. But as far as a guy that I just felt like never let me or anybody else down, and until the explosion of Gill was your orange cap leader, Faf du Plessis just seemed to be a gold presence on every fantasy roster. I don't think RCB played, and I didn't have him in my lineup a single time this year, and I never regretted it. But I can tell you, I was standing at an airport waiting on a flight when Shubman Gill went out for a duck as my captain once. So, Duplessis did not do that to you this year. And that, as far as I was concerned, is why he was my number one on this list. And I think a lot of other people felt the same way, given that that's how they voted.
Yeah, and I think everybody did agree with you. It was nearly unanimous. In fact, Shubb and Gill didn't even get a vote. The only one that was more unanimous was that Piazzolla was the kingpin bowler, and people love him.
Piazza on in there.
That was it. That's how it wraps up. So congratulations, FAF, and all the winners and nominees.
And congratulations to you if you are a home league champion or a global champion. I like to think that our global champion is the global champion because of us.
Yeah, seriously, congratulations if you won your league, or even if you just found IPL Fantasy IPL this year and had some fun with it. I think we're excited to give the podcast another season next year. It's going to be 10 short months until the two most exhausting months of my year start again.
It's a challenge, and you deserve congratulations if you just manage to stay engaged for every single one of these matches. It's mm-hmm. so hard. I think you're the only one in our league that didn't miss a match or like didn't have some sort of lineup flub up from something. I missed one completely because of being out of the country, and I didn't know I was going to need a VPN. And as it went down, everybody missed something. I mean, you were the only one that didn't, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the first year I've done that too. First year I have not missed one.
So just getting through the season is an accomplishment. Our league is super competitive, and so it stayed tight the whole time. But, it's one of those interesting things if you're playing this. I think a lot of it is just commitment equals success. So even if you didn't finish number one in the points, like, you probably did really well if you just tried and played smart the whole year. And hopefully we helped you do that. But to sort of wrap that up is kind of, this is the end of the line as far as our podcast concerning the IPL, but we're not going away completely. We still want to be part of your cricket mind, that segment of your brain that is now 100% dedicated to the IPL and can never be turned off again, if you're like us. So we've got some ideas to sort of touch on that and keep us and you engaged. And the easiest way I think for us to do that is to pop in to, Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get our podcast. We're going to be showing up periodically, and we think we're going to tie that into some of the other tournaments going on in the world, because you're going to see that a lot of the big stars from the IPL are big stars in other tournaments. And so it's fun to see that cricket and be like, oh, yeah, I know this guy. I know this team, a lot of that stuff. What's on the horizon, Mark, that we probably will end up talking about and hopefully chatting with our audience about as well?
Yeah, so over the summer, we'll probably check in once a month or so, but there's a few events we particularly have our eyes set on. Did you hear that thunder?
No.
Anyway. There's a few events we particularly have our eyes set on. The ICC World Test Championship Final is coming up in just a week or two. Who is that? Is that India and Australia?
Australia, yeah. So both of those lineups are going to be full of players from the IPL, and it will be fun to see them play against each other, because some of these people were teammates, and now they're playing against each other. But also, if you are curious about test cricket, because you'll know so many of these players, this is a really good chance to dip your toe into the water of a whole new version of this game. And you'll see why T20 is what it is, I think.
I'm excited to check in on this one. And the next one we have, the Ashes, June 16th to July 31st. That's another test cricket series.
Yes, it's a 5-match test cricket series between England and Australia. So Australia coming back around. But again, you're going to see a bunch of names that you're familiar with.
And I've never really watched test cricket, so I'm excited to tune into that. And I'm really interested in seeing how the players I know and love play differently in test cricket than they do in T20.
Yeah, I think it'll be real cool.
And then finally, here in the States, cricket's really having a moment worldwide, it seems, because the Major League Cricket is a brand new league starting in the U.S. this summer. It's T20 cricket. It's mostly going to be American players, which is interesting because we don't see a lot of those on the international stage. But then sprinkled in are going to be some of the names that we love from IPL too. So I think it's going to be fun to see those overseas players just kind of dominate the American players.
Yeah. Well, and you're going to see an interesting mix. So like you have the Texas Super Kings, and it's the same franchise as Chennai. Mumbai is playing out of New York.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, there's two or three of them, but there's
LA Knight Riders.
Yes, same symbol. So you're going to not only see a lot of familiar names, you're going to see familiar symbols, but there's also the San Francisco Unicorns, the Seattle Orcas, and then the Washington Freedom. There's some big-time players that are interested in playing in this league, and that's what it's going to need to take off. It's going to need some credit like that. If you're a football fan, you've seen that like the XFL just has these little like blips on the radar, and now like Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson is behind it. It's had its most successful year ever. So it's like, maybe this is the time for cricket in the States. We have a massive foreign population of people who've come from countries where cricket's a big deal, not the least of which is India. Yeah.
So if you want to tune in with us when we talk about those things, they are going to be kind of spaced out. It's not going to be every two episodes a week like it has been. My best suggestion is to follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter and subscribe. Wherever you're listening, subscribe so you get the notification that we're up and you won't miss anything that that we have to say. And you can join us. Always leave comments. Tweet at us, and we can stay in communication with each other and you, and keep that part of that cricket brain, like I said, getting its itch every now and then.
Well, thanks for sticking with us for the whole season. Whit, thanks for sticking it out. It's been a fun ride.
It has been a fun ride. I'm glad it was successful for the two of us. I just want to plug both of us again. 16.5 points was the margin of victory between you and I over 74 matches. You're thinking, okay, well, that makes sense because you guys run a podcast together. We did it via two very different angles. We did not get to that almost identical total by doing any of the same things throughout the year. But we both finished very well globally. We both finished very well in our teams, and obviously 1 and 2 in our league. So I felt like what we were saying must have worked to some degree, because you and I beat everybody we know. And we beat 99.8% of the population. So congratulations to us.
For your trophy, would you prefer something Lucknow related or something Jadeja related?
Oh man, it would have been Lucknow, no question, until Jadeja did that to me. So I am legitimately on the fence. He saved my season. I just don't know that I can walk around in a yellow CSK jersey, you know? Maybe if there's like a Jadeja,
India?
Yeah, in like a national team, then that would be, I think that'd be my preference right now, I think.
All right. I'll keep that in mind. All right, guys, we're closing it up. Thanks a lot.
Happy 2023 IPL. We'll see you next year, if nothing else.
See ya.